It's Tuesday, July the 5th, and welcome to our broadcast called This and That. And I'm your host, Pastor David Ripley. This is where I get to offer my opinions on the news headlines of the day. This and That airs Tuesdays at 7 p.m. and is rebroadcast Thursdays at 7 p.m. Before we get into today's stories, let me state that the opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Grace Christian Fellowship or Grace Christian Radio. Let me begin with the weather for tomorrow, July the 6th. Some rain showers early with some sunshine later in the day and a high of 23. I want to welcome tonight to the broadcast my wonderful wife, Gina Ripley. Nice to have you on the program tonight.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Tonight we're going to be talking about the persecution of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, we here in North America and Canada and in the United States have enjoyed freedom for a long time. We can come together on a Sunday, and we can lift our hands and magnify the Lord, and we can enjoy that even on a weekly basis. But in many parts of the world, if you go to church, if you express that you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that could mean imprisonment.
That's right, or even your life.
Or even your life. So we want to talk about that tonight, and we want to begin with the nation of Afghanistan, and Gina has an update for us tonight.
Yes, thank you. So this update is from the Voice of the Martyrs. And as the Taliban quickly retook control of Afghanistan last year, Christians faced a difficult question of whether to stay or leave the country. They knew the wrong decision could cost them their lives. Many who weren't known as Christians made the courageous decision to stay in Afghanistan as witnesses for Christ. The Voice of the Martyrs is encouraging and equipping these believers even as the Taliban solidifies its control. Other Afghan Christians, especially those who had been publicly identified as followers of Christ, had to leave the country for their family's safety. Many of these believers took refuge in nearby countries that are predominantly Muslim. Although they know serving Christ is a dangerous endeavor, they continue, and that's the encouraging part, David, is they continue to proclaim the gospel among fellow Afghan refugees as well as their new neighbors. And the Voice of the Martyrs is helping many of them as they build new lives. And some of the refugees are praying that God will make it possible for them to return to Afghanistan despite the Taliban.
You know, God has called some of us to stay and some of us to go. And it's the same situation in Afghanistan. Some of the believers are called to stay in that nation, and some have been called to go, especially to these camps. And even some have come to Canada. Some have come to the United States, Britain, other nations of the world. And we want to be praying especially for those who have decided to stay in Afghanistan or become part of the camps in these Muslim countries that border Afghanistan. They need our prayers.
Yes.
If there's ever a group of people that need prayer, yes, it's these persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ in the nation of Afghanistan. They are looked upon unfavorably in that nation. It is a mostly Muslim country.
They can't get jobs.
They cannot get jobs. Some are going without meals. And, mm-hmm, and let's think about the children, mm-hmm, of these families that have decided to stay. It's a precarious situation. And so we as believers who live here in North America, in Canada and in the United States, need to be on our knees daily praying for them, that God, mm-hmm, would strengthen them, that God would empower them, that, yes, God would protect them.
Yes.
Now, we want to move from this story to some violence that happened on Pentecost Sunday in Nigeria. And again, you have an update.
That's right. Yes, this update comes from Open Doors Canada. And actually, if someone wants to, you know, get a pen and paper throughout our program tonight, they might want to take some notes on that. So and look up Open Doors Canada online and see it's an incredible ministry. And they help even those who come out of persecution. They have safe homes for them. They help them with the trauma they've gone through. They help them with jobs and whatever resources they need. So it's an incredible ministry, Open Doors Canada. So you can look it up online and find out some more about it. But this update comes from them, and it was from Nigeria. So an unknown gunman opened fire at a church in the town of Owu, southwestern Nigeria, as members gathered to celebrate Pentecost on Sunday, June the 5th. They killed an estimated 50 people. The gunman shot at people outside and inside the church building, killing and injuring worshipers. According to eyewitnesses, the attackers also detonated explosives. So we need to continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ in that went through this, and pray that those who are hurting, many lost someone they love in this attack, and ask God for healing and peace, because they really need a touch from God in that situation.
It's a circumstance that's happening in Nigeria on a regular, consistent basis. Extreme Islamist groups are attacking churches, Christians. You know, they say the statistics prove that Christianity is the most persecuted and attacked group.
Yes.
Religious group in the world.
In the world, that's right.
Christians are being attacked in so many countries, and we really need to, again, we need to be praying. Now, tonight, we want to talk about some biblical principles learned from the persecuted church. And I think it's important for us to go over these principles because, you know, things are tightening up here in Canada. Things are tightening up here in Canada. There is a hatred on for the church and for the principles that we stand on, the Bible that we believe in, not only in Canada, but in the United States of America as well. And so we want to look at some principles that we can learn from the persecuted church.
That's
and
right.
Gina has some of those for us tonight.
Yeah, I'd like to share that when the pandemic started in 2020, when everything got shut down and everything, there's a group of pastors that have been helping the persecuted church for many years, and they had this course that they go through with them to help the churches prepare them and, you know, equip them to face pressure and persecution. And in 2020, for the first time in North America, they decide to give this course, and I took it. It was an online course, and it's called Standing Strong Through the Storm: Victorious Living for Christians Facing Pressure and Persecution. Because pressure can be, you know, we felt some of the pressures here in Canada, and how should we respond as Christians? So this was the first time, I believe they've taught this course for over 25 years. This was the first time they were teaching in North America, because they said, now the church here, we need to know how to face pressure and persecution here in our own country. And we've learned through the years how they've those churches in those countries that were persecuted, we've learned a lot of lessons, and this is what they're sharing in this course. So it was excellent. If somebody wants to look it up, that's also on Open Doors Canada for that course if you're interested. But some of the biblical principles learned from the persecuted church was, don't be surprised. Because you know what? The scriptures tells us so many, Jesus told us so many times throughout that, you know, we would face persecution, you know. And they said, they hated me, they'll hate you. So one of the things that we need to prepare ourselves is that we should not be surprised when it happens. Another principle was rejoice, that we should always rejoice in the Lord. And when we rejoice, our faith grows and our fears become less. And that's an important part of our, when we face persecution, is we need to keep a spirit of joy. And then the reason for rejoicing is because the persecuted disciple of Jesus is going to receive a great reward in heaven and is in the company of the prophets of old who also receive this kind of treatment. So we need, that's why we rejoice. And then it says, pray with thankfulness. So we have to, the Bible says in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So we need to pray with thankfulness. Then we need to evaluate the source of suffering, because it shows here that we need to make sure that our suffering is caused because we're being a witness for Christ, not because of stuff that we've done or we're doing the wrong things, but it's the right, you know. In 1 Peter 4:1 says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. So another principle is refuse to be ashamed. And that's another thing, too, that sometimes we don't think about, is actually the devil puts shame on Christians and say, look at you, look, that people hate you, and you're in this situation, or you're in jail, or whatever. He puts shame, and that is not of God. So we have to refuse to be ashamed. And then respond as Christ responded. So, you know, we have to respond not in the flesh, but we have to respond as Christ did and not to retaliate. And that's another one here, to refuse to retaliate.
And that's not easy.
No.
It's not easy not to retaliate, especially when we see our freedoms being taken away as they are in Canada. It seems like every day, Gina, our freedoms are being eroded away. A little bit at a time, almost as the tide comes in, slowly, slowly, things are slipping away. And I don't think you're saying tonight that we shouldn't stand up for the truth. We should.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. We need to stand up for the truth in this hour. We need to be firm in what we believe, but we have to do it with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, from experience, that's not easy. We really need God's help in the midst of all of this to respond in a way that's pleasing unto God without compromising what we know to be the truth. And we're living in a nation today, let's be honest. We have a prime minister that is constantly taking steps to eliminate our beliefs and what we have found to be true over the years, and what we know is in God's precious word. Those things are being constantly, berated and put down, and so we can't be ashamed of what we know to be the truth.
That's correct, yes. So another biblical principle is to trust God. Peter also indicates in 1 Peter 4:19 that a disciple's attitude and response should be that of entrusting himself to God. It's so much easier to deal with suffering if we have already purposed in our hearts to turn everything over to the Lord. If we have an attitude of submission, obedience, and sacrificial service, we will not be overwhelmed about the trials and persecutions he may allow. And that's another thing we have to remember, is God only allow what he knows we can bear. So he's still in control in the midst of our suffering and persecution. And lastly is stand firm and stand together. As members of the same family, it is our responsibility to help a member of our family who is suffering. The body of Christ is strong when each part is closely knit together. When one part suffers, all the other members suffer. So it's important to, even in the midst of persecution, to stand together and help each other and support each other, because we are stronger when we stand together.
Amen. Thank you for that. That's very, very important. We're going to move from that to some inappropriate responses to persecution. And you know, that's important, I think, to understand what God wants us to do and what God doesn't want us to do. Yes. So maybe you got some thoughts on that.
Yes, when believers are not prepared and persecution comes, they are tempted to fall into one of the following errors. And one of them is renounce their faith and join hands with the enemy. So just to give up.
You know, the Bible says in the last days there's going to be a great falling away. And we can see this happening amongst many believers. They've just decided that, you know what, this is just too much to bear. I can't do it. And they've made decisions in which it's caused their faith to suffer, and they've drifted away from their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And we pray for those believers. Even now, we pray for those believers that the Holy Spirit would draw them back to Christ, that they would realize the most important thing in life is serving God. And the peace that passes all understanding fills our hearts through Christ Jesus when we serve Him fully and completely.
That's correct. Another one is rebel openly and retaliate. So just like taking matters in your own hands, and we see that in other countries, whether you get riots, people start burning things and trashing things and being vulgar and whatever. So they just kind of fall in that trap. Then there's also the one to flee. They just run away. I mean, they're just trying to find a safe spot, and they're not asking God where to go. They're just like running for their lives. And really, we have to remember that the safest place in the world is in the center of God's will.
Amen. Mm. I like that. Mm. The safest place to be is in the center of God's will. You know what? If we can just think about that tonight and meditate on that tonight, it can really change our lives dramatically. You know, God's will has got to be the most important thing in our lives.
Yes.
Amen?
And when we're under pressure, it's hard sometimes to discern what God wants because, I mean, fear comes and you don't know where to go, what to do. But even in those moments, we need to take the time and say, okay, what do I do, Lord, in this moment?
And what we've been doing here at Grace Christian Fellowship, especially over the last 2 years, and even before that, we have been preparing, myself as a pastor, we have been preparing the people for persecution. We have been telling them, we have been teaching them, we have been preaching to them that hard times are coming, difficult times are coming. And we know that even our own church, we got ticketed simply for having a prayer meeting, gathering together according to God's word. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. We need to gather together. And we were just having a prayer meeting. I mean, you were there. You saw what happened.
Yeah.
And we got ticketed. You know, I heard recently that the trial for this ticket is coming up in November of this year. And it's going to be possibly a two-day trial. Can you imagine a two-day trial?
For a ticket.
For people gathering together simply to pray. It's just amazing that these things are happening right here in Canada.
That's right. And then one thing, too, we have here is how do we prepare ourselves as a church for those pressures and this persecution? So number one is we need to study the Bible and memorize passages. So we have to know what the God's word says. So we need to read the word and we need to memorize the Bible. And this is something that many pastors and Christians in persecuted countries have shared. They said, you know what? Sometimes they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have access to a Bible, or whatever reason, they were not able to have a Bible. So then they had to remember those verses that they've learned, which helped them and helped them overcome and through this their difficult times. So memorizing scriptures is important. Number two, to train your people to be soul winners. So we need to feel comfortable to share our faith. We should do it naturally, regularly, so we don't wait till we're persecuted.
And we've been encouraging people at Grace Christian Fellowship to be sharing their faith. In fact, we have teams going out every couple of weeks into the streets of Creston, and they are sharing Christ with people. And I think that's important, Gina, that because if we really know that the end is near, mm-hmm. that we're in the end times, then there should be a great desire within us to win as many people to Christ as possible.
That's right. So the third one is to commit ourselves to serving the needs in our community. So do concrete things to show the love of Christ. Number four, equal concern for each other. So as believers, we need to be concerned for each other, to make sure that each other's needs are met and we're caring for one another. That's important. Number five, self-supporting and free from outside control. So that's an interesting one, and I think as a community, we're working on that.
Yes, these community meetings that we've been having here at the church, where people are coming from many different backgrounds, and joining together, and that is the main reason they're doing it, is so that we are not dependent on the government.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like everything the government's doing today is to lure people into that complete dependence on them. And, you know, we'll take care of you. No, what's happening through these community meetings that happen right here at the church is we are learning self-dependence. In other words, we're not depending on the government. We're depending on God to take care of his people and take care of this community.
That's right. And number six, educate the church regarding opposition. And that's what, as you were saying, as a church, we've tried to equip the people to prepare themselves for opposition and what we're doing tonight, sharing about it. So that's part of it. Number seven, share responsibilities, get involved. So as followers of Christ, we need to all do our part.
So it's a time period where we can't just sit in the pew and relax. Come to church, go home. Come to church, go home. No, this is a time to get involved. Whatever church you go to, whatever Bible-believing church you're a part of, you need to get involved. And that's important. And it's going to encourage others in the congregation, and it's certainly going to encourage the pastor. Your pastor is going to be encouraged when he sees that you want to be involved in the church.
Yes. Number eight, more prayer time. That will motivate the church. And there's a little saying, says, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. So prayer is important, and we need to come together to pray.
You know, they say if you don't pray for a week, you become a weak Christian. Did you hear that one before?
No, I never heard it before.
Well, this is the first tonight. If you don't pray for a week, you become a weak Christian. We not only need to pray individually, Gina, we need to pray corporately.
Yes.
We need to pray, yes, by ourselves, alone with God, but we also need to come together with other believers and pray.
Yes.
That's biblical. Yes. And as you look through the book of Acts, you're going to see so many times they came together, especially when they were persecuted, especially when they were going through difficult times. They came together and they prayed, and God empowered them. God strengthened them, and I think that's important.
Amen. Yes. So number nine, educate on what the Bible teaches on persecution. So read, get all the scriptures about persecution and what we should do. So then when it happens, we're prepared, we're aware of it, that it's what's happening. And lastly, to abide in the Lord and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. So our daily relationship with Christ is the foundation and the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through our lives.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time tonight to share these principles, to share these stories from Afghanistan, from Nigeria. And I also think about the church in the Middle East. I think about the church in North Korea. And, you know, it's almost on a weekly basis we hear a story of someone that's suffering mm-hmm. simply because they've made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they want to follow him.
Yes.
And we need to be prepared right here in Canada, because things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. The church is being looked down upon. I said that earlier. And that opposition is intensifying.
Yes, it is intensifying. We need to prepare, because once the storm's there, it's hard to say, okay, now what are the scriptures I should memorize, and exactly. What does the Bible should say? It's too late then. You're in the midst of it, so we need to prepare before, and this is the time.
Let there be no dust on your Bible, but let the Word of God seep into your heart and soul in the name of Jesus. I think tonight, you know, as we come to the end of this program, we need to take some time to pray for the persecuted church. And I think that's important, that I'll pray, and then I'm going to ask you to pray before we close the program tonight. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come to you knowing that you see every situation and you see every circumstance. You see what every believer's going through tonight. Lord, you see the believers as they're suffering in Afghanistan, as they're suffering in Nigeria and North Korea and so many other countries around the world. Even in India, there are believers that are going through intense persecution. And tonight, Lord, I lift them up to you in the name of Jesus. And I pray, oh God, that you would minister to them. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would strengthen each and every believer in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for ministries that are reaching out to these believers, like Open Doors and Martyrs for Christ and other organizations. Lord, I pray for them that their needs would be met. Lord, I pray as we give that these ministries would be empowered to reach in to these areas of the world and touch these believers, whether it's food or whether it's Bibles or whether it's teaching or seminars or whatever it may be, Lord, I just pray that these doors would not be shut, but they would be supernaturally opened. And Father, I'm going to ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord, we pray also for those who persecute your church, O God. Lord, they don't know what they're doing, oh God. We pray that you will open their eyes, take those scales off of their eyes, that they will see your glorious salvation. Lord, soften their hearts that are so hard, oh God, from sin, oh Lord, and soften them, oh God, and bring them to a place of repentance, oh God, that they will see that you are the God that frees us. You're the God that saves us. You're the God that delivers us, oh God. So, Father, we pray, oh Lord, that you will show your mighty power in Amen. All these areas, oh Father, where your church is persecuted, oh God. And Father, Lord, we thank you because you still sit on the throne and nothing is impossible for you. And Lord, we pray that you will do mighty, mighty things, oh Father, that will show your power at work in all these countries, oh God, that your church will shine forth and the light will be brighter, oh God. And Father, that your church will do the work, oh Father, till the end, that we will be faithful until the end, O Father. So we thank you for your grace and your mercy that you give us each day, O God, to do your work. And Lord, we do rejoice because we have a great salvation, O God. We have a great salvation, a great hope in you, O God. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for all these things. And we thank you, O God, for being so faithful to your church and those who are suffering, O God. So we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Lord, I just pray for the church here in Canada. I pray, oh God, that we would not be sleeping in this hour, but Lord, we would be awakened by the Holy Spirit, because we know that persecution has already started and it is going to intensify. So Father, I just pray for a mighty awakening from coast to coast to coast in this great country. I pray for every pastor, every evangelist. Father, I pray for those who prophesy. Lord, I just pray, oh God, that you would just raise us up, Father, in this hour to speak forth your word, Lord, in this nation, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we just cover all of these things, all of these people, every situation and circumstance, we cover them in prayer.
Yes,
and Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, again, thank you for coming on the broadcast tonight. This is Pastor David Ripley, believe it or not, signing off. Have a blessed evening.